Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hey everyone, how is everybody doing? I hope you're all having amazing weeks. And I'll be honest, I have had the most annoying tickly cough for almost 2 weeks now that will just not go away. It started off with me losing my voice and now my voice is fine, but I just feel this tickle in my throat all the time. So if any of you are having this exact same thing, one of my coaching clients said that there's this really bad cough that's going around in the UK. So if any of you can relate to this, oh, how annoying is it? I'm literally sat here with so many packets of throat sweets, just ready to go in case I need them while I'm recording this. And I remember saying in one of my one-on-one coaching sessions to an American client of mine that I was having throat sweets, and she found it really funny because apparently in America, they don't call them throat sweets. I don't know what they call them. She didn't tell me. So if you're listening and you're from America, I'd love to know what you call the sweets that you suck when you have a sore throat. If you don't call them throat sweets, what do you call them? Come and tell me on Instagram because I'm very, very intrigued. But anyway, enough about me and my sore throat. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about choices and how acknowledging our choice in every situation is one of the fastest ways to feel empowered. Sound exciting? I thought so too. So let's dive in. So first things first, we have choice in every situation that we face. Choice over what we think, how we interpret the events happening around us, how we choose to feel, choice over how we show up to handle those situations, and choice over who we are. Yet, so often we tell ourselves that we have no choice. We tell ourselves we have no choice but to feel resentful and miserable if someone doesn't behave the way that we want them to. We tell ourselves we have no choice but to feel sad and miserable if someone that we went on a date with doesn't want to date us back. We tell ourselves we have no choice but to be blunt and withdrawn with our partner because they forgot something that was really important to us. We tell ourselves we have no choice but to stay in relationships that we don't want to be in because there's no good people out there. There's no one else out there. So we have no choice but to stay with this person. And we end up fighting for our powerlessness all of the time. And I see this a lot on Instagram, people wanting to blame other people for how they feel, for how they show up in their relationships and the choices that they make. You know, it's their ex's fault that they can't trust anyone now because of how their ex treated them in the past. It's their current partner's fault that they feel so unattractive because they don't give them enough compliments. And of course, I'm not suggesting that we live in a vacuum. Other people's behaviour exists and are very real circumstances in our lives that we then have to deal with. So I'm not talking about denying the facts of the world around us or other people's behaviour. What I'm talking about here is owning and acknowledging the choices that you do have in any circumstance, the things that you do have control over. And the first, and I'd say one of the most important choices that we always have, is how we choose to think. Because when someone is behaving in a certain way, your brain is going to offer you a default thought, an automatic thought in response to that behavior. And that thought isn't random. And it's also not a reflection of universal truth. It's the thought that makes the most sense to your brain, given your own preconceived ideas, your own limiting beliefs, your own biases, your own memories, and your own fears. Your brain is also wired to have a negativity bias, because that is evolution. We all have that. So let's look at an example from one of my one-on-one clients. Her partner recently told her that he didn't want to go to a gig with her. That was the circumstance that she was dealing with. And her brain automatically, without her intentionally choosing it, went to thoughts like, if he loved me, he'd want to come with me. And he doesn't care about spending time with me. And these thoughts felt so, so painful to her. But she actually had a choice here. She had a choice whether to believe that automatic default interpretation and take it at face value, no questions asked, or she could see that thought as an optional sentence her brain had defaulted to and reassess the situation and choose intentionally. She had a choice to question that thought and choose a new way to think about the situation on purpose. and separating out the facts of the situation from your thoughts and really challenging your thoughts and what you're choosing to think is something I teach you how to do on a much deeper level in my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, which I'm going to mention again towards the end. So stay tuned if you think that could be of interest to you. We also have a choice to create connection or create more disconnection. And I see my clients, both one-on-one and in my group coaching program, create so much unnecessary disconnection. For example, maybe they get into a disagreement with their partner, or their partner does something that goes against the way that they would have liked them to act. They behave in a way that they don't particularly like, and they choose to try and punish them for that. They go silent, or they withdraw. Maybe they send passive-aggressive messages or reply bluntly. Maybe they don't reply to them at all. And when they make this choice, they're choosing disconnection. They choose to put a bigger wedge between themselves and their partner. And I want to pivot for a second and talk about why none of this feels like a choice. Because you might be listening to this and thinking, yes, I do that all the time, but I'm not choosing it intentionally. I don't want to be this way. And the reason it doesn't feel like a choice is because it's unconscious to you. Your responses and reactions are being driven by your primitive brain and unconscious beliefs and thought patterns that you might not even be aware of. Or you may be aware that they're there, but they just run on autopilot. It's like, have you ever moved house and then found yourself driving back to your old address? You know consciously that you don't live there anymore, but your unconscious brain is so used to that pattern that it takes you there anyway. That's what it's like with our automatic thoughts, feelings, and responses. It's the exact same thing. So in these moments, you likely don't feel like you're consciously choosing these things. But just because it's a choice that you're making subconsciously or unconsciously doesn't mean that it's not a choice that you can bring into your conscious awareness and change. And how we bring these choices into our awareness is through reflection, through noticing our behavior and understanding the thoughts and feelings driving them. I also teach a lot about processing our emotions, because our emotions can feel so big and overwhelming that all the rational thinking in the world often flies out the window the minute we feel triggered. So we're unable to make that intentional choice. So we have to learn to first pause and take a breath, notice where we're feeling the emotion, and instead of automatically responding to them like we're programmed to do, sit and process them fully. Allow them to rise, peak, and dissipate within us. Notice how they feel, make space for them, so that we can then bring our rational thinking back online to make that more intentional choice. And I talk more about this technique in episode 5 of this podcast, so definitely go and check that out if you haven't already. But coming back to the choice to create disconnection, I completely halved the time of disagreements and arguments with my partner when making this one simple choice. Whenever we're in an argument, my brain likes to go to protest, victim, resentful mode. I'll be stood in another room, my head full with a load of negative thoughts about her, thinking how wrong she is, how ridiculous she's being, how misunderstood I am, and how this is all so unfair. And when I'm thinking that way, I feel the urge to slam doors and huff and make passive-aggressive comments, or maybe storm back in the room and tell her how ridiculous she's being. And that would be my default choice. That would be my unconscious default automatic response to the situation. But instead, I've started asking myself this question. What is my goal here? That one question reminds me that my goal is always to connect with her. And it reminds me in that moment that no amount of bitching about her in my head, slamming doors, huffing, or withdrawing from her is going to help me achieve that end goal, that connection. Because in these moments, we always have a choice. We can choose to act distant and withdraw and say things to ourselves like, well, I'm not going to try and make up if they're not even going to bother trying. Why am I always the one that has to extend the olive branch? Okay, I might have said this, but they said that, which is why I said what I said. You can go down that road, or you can choose connection. You can choose to stop fighting the person and choose to listen, to understand, to take a breath and center yourself before you respond, to ask them for a hug and tell them that you love them, even though things are tense in that moment. Which leads me to another choice that we have, the choice to be judgmental or the choice to be curious. which is the second choice that I make during these moments of arguments or disagreements. I can either choose to continue bitching about her in my head and fluffing my own ego and telling myself how completely right I am and how completely wrong she is, or I can choose to be curious. Curious about what she's thinking in that moment. What thoughts might be driving her feelings? What might this be coming from for her? What might her experience be like in this moment? And we can't be bitching about someone in our head while also being totally curious and open to understanding them. So remember that choice in your next argument. Are you going to choose judgment and create more disconnection? Or are you going to choose to be curious about the other person's experience and open the doors to more connection? And when I'm in arguments, I usually have a minute or so of the judgment and the unconscious dialogue of my ego telling me how right I am and how wrong she is. And then I catch myself and I make the choice to shift into curiosity and compassion. And then I go to my partner and I'm so much softer and open. I'm not tense. I'm not defensive. I'm ready to listen. I don't interrupt her. I don't tell her she's wrong. I open up to understanding why she's feeling that way, even if I don't personally understand it myself, even if it's not something that I share, even if it's not a thought I even agree with. I can listen and understand why she might feel that way without blaming or shaming her or blaming and shaming myself. Which nicely leads me to another choice that we always have in our relationships. And that's the choice to beat ourselves up or show ourselves compassion. When someone offers you criticism or feedback, or when your partner says they're mad at you, or when you've messed something up or done something that you really regret, you can choose to berate yourself over and over, to ask yourself dead-end questions like, why am I like this? What is wrong with me? And choose to make the feedback or mistake mean something terrible and permanent, like, I always mess everything up. I'll never be any good at this. I'm a terrible partner. I'm an awful friend. I'm not lovable. There's something wrong with me. Or you can choose to show yourself and your past self, if you're thinking about something from the past, compassion. You can choose to see yourself as an imperfect, flawed human and be compassionate towards the thoughts and feelings that drove you in those moments. You can choose to be compassionate towards the past version of you that didn't know any better in that moment, even if that past version of you was you 10 minutes ago in the height of an anxiety spiral. In that moment, they were doing the best that they could. And you can offer them compassion and understanding. Just like you can choose to stop judging and be curious and compassionate to your partner, you can choose to be curious and compassionate towards yourself. And a lot of people are afraid to do this because they think that if they're compassionate to themselves, they'll let themselves off the hook for their flaws and never grow and change. But my friends, the opposite is true. Really think about it. What good ever comes from the choice of shaming and judging yourself? Do you really bounce back having learned something about yourself and understood yourself on a deeper level, ready to try again and improve next time? Or do you just feel like quitting everything, hiding and giving up? Shame and judgment is a choice that has no upside. And I'm yet to find a downside for being compassionate towards ourselves, because being compassionate is actually a vital piece of the puzzle for creating lasting change. You also have a choice either to trust or not to trust in your relationships. And this one scares a lot of people because they're so afraid to trust just in case their partner cheats on them or betrays their trust in some way. And then they think they'd have to regret their choice to trust them. But here's my take on that. I don't believe we should ever beat ourselves up for choosing to trust someone. I don't think we should ever shame or judge ourselves for not psychically predicting that someone wasn't going to do the things that they told us they'd do. And if you think about it, when you're in a relationship, you have no idea whether the person is going to be faithful or not. You can hazard a guess and take in the fact of their behaviour so far, but we actually never know what they're going to do or not do. And so if you're in a relationship where your partner is telling you they want a faithful monogamous relationship and there's no evidence to suggest that that isn't the case, it would be kind of crazy to choose not to trust just in case it doesn't turn out the way you'd like. You can choose to not trust them and be paranoid, assume the worst, doubt them, relentlessly question them. Or you can choose to trust them until given reason not to. You can choose to trust and choose to be proud of that choice to be a trusting partner, because trusting is the kind of partner you want to be. Really think about that for a minute. No one is ever like, Yeah, the kind of partner I'd really love to be is one that's distrustful and really paranoid. No, we want to be trusting. We don't want to assume the worst. And we get to choose to do that and choose to be proud of ourselves and have our own backs, even if we end up being wrong some of the time. And there's another really important part of trust. It's not just trusting the people in our lives, it's trusting ourselves to be okay, even if someone betrays our trust. And that's really the much more important part of it. Like I said, we never know for sure how someone else will behave, whether we trust them or not. But if we can trust ourselves to survive and be okay and not be horrible to ourselves, whatever the outcome is, we can actually relax and enjoy our relationships and just let life and situations play out exactly the way they're supposed to. You also have a choice about what you make other people's behavior mean about you. It doesn't feel like a choice, does it? But I promise you it is a choice. You can choose to make someone rejecting you, leaving you, not calling you back, not wanting a second date, someone being moody. You can choose to make that mean something terrible about you as a person and your worth and value. Or you can also choose to not make it mean anything about you at all. You can choose to recognize that everyone's behavior is a reflection of their own mind and inner world, and that you don't have control over how they see the world, how they see you, or how they choose to behave. You can choose to remind yourself that you are a unique, worthy, and valuable human, and that doesn't change when someone behaves in a way that you don't like, or even when someone has negative thoughts about you. You get to choose to still love and accept yourself and think highly of yourself and your decisions, even if someone else thinks the opposite thing about you or disagrees. We also have a choice over the emotions that drive us every single day. Again, we don't feel like we do. Most of us just roll out of bed and start responding to the default thoughts that our brain offers us, and we feel completely controlled and victim to the default emotions that those thoughts create. Most of us just wake up and think, God, I really hope that nothing bad happens today and that I can have a good day and feel good about myself. I hope that my brain doesn't say anything negative to me today, it makes me feel terrible. But did you know you actually get to choose to feel emotions on purpose? By choosing the way you think on purpose. Crazy, right? You get to wake up in the morning and ask yourself, how do I want to feel today? How do I want to be in my relationship today? What kind of partner do I want to be? What kind of friend do I want to be? What emotions do I want to feel towards the people in my life? And then you get to ask yourself, what thoughts would I need to be thinking to generate that feeling? How would I act if I was genuinely feeling that way? And then choose to go and be that person and act in that way. If your partner is in a bad mood, you get to decide, how do I want to choose to feel about this? Do I want to choose to let their bad mood infect my mood and then start mirroring their behavior and be grumpy and withdrawn and create an argument? Or do I want to feel compassionate towards them and maybe reflect on how I sometimes get in bad moods and I can totally relate to what they're going through and be warm and loving towards them and ask them if there's anything I can do to help? Do I want to feel calm or even neutral about their bad mood? If compassionate and calm seems too much of a reach, maybe neutral is where you want to go. If you could choose to feel neutral about their bad mood, what would you need to be believing to feel that way? And what would you be doing if you genuinely just felt neutral about it, if you weren't making it a problem? How would you then treat them and how would you show up to your own day? Of course, finding thoughts that feel believable is really key here. We can't create emotion unless we genuinely believe the thought that we're thinking. This is why trying and testing thoughts is so important. Imagine every thought is like an outfit. You've got to try it on, see how it feels, and decide if it's a good fit for you. And if it's not, not to worry, just try on another. Different sentences will create totally different emotional responses in your body. And you'll know you believe a thought when it creates some kind of shift in the way you feel. If you think it and you feel even 10% less bad or 10% more towards the way you'd love to feel, great, start with that. We also have a choice to be the victim in our story or the hero. And this one may be triggering to some people, but stay with me for a moment. If someone is treating you in a way that you don't like, maybe your boss is asking for too much or your partner isn't pulling their weight around the house or with the kids, you can choose to remain the victim and feel powerless to them and to your life, which is very tempting to do. And I say this with so much compassion because me too, my human brain loves to be in victim mode, so you're not alone. Or we can choose to become the hero. We can choose to take back control of the narrative, decide how we want to choose to show up to that situation, how we want to think and feel about it, and what we want the next chapter to look like. We can choose what we want to make the situation mean about us, whether we want to take a certain action to support ourselves, whether we need to communicate something more directly, maybe even set a boundary and follow through with that boundary if our requests aren't met. Telling ourselves, I have no choice, I can't do X because they won't do Y, or if they'd only just whatever, that keeps you in the choice of being a victim and feeling disempowered. And I've mentioned this book before, it's a great book. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. I highly recommend that you go and read it if you haven't already, it's an amazing book. But she talks about something she calls the pain to power chart. I think she calls it a chart anyway. But it came into my mind while I was thinking about this, because that's really what acknowledging our choices is all about. She talks about how in every situation, we can visualize where we currently are on this pain to power chart and work to shift ourselves more towards power. Because when we aren't choosing our power, when we aren't recognizing our choice in every situation, we are creating so much unnecessary pain. So to summarize, let's wrap this up in a neat little bow. It may not feel like a choice right now, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, and that's okay. It's because you're responding to the default automatic emotions that are created by your primitive brain and your unconscious default thought patterns. And the way you can start to bring this into conscious awareness is by pausing and noticing the thoughts and feelings driving you in any situation, in every moment. I teach my clients a tool called the model, which is exactly what this is for, bringing us into awareness of our thoughts and what they're creating in any situation. But you can start doing it today by simply pausing in any situation and asking yourself, what are the facts of this situation and what thought and feeling am I having about it? And if I were to keep thinking and feeling this way, how would I be likely to act? How am I likely to show up to this situation if I keep unconsciously choosing this thought? And finally, in every situation, struggle, any circumstance that you're facing, ask yourself, what choice do I have here? What is under my control? Can I choose to think about this in a different way? Can I choose to be less judgmental and more curious or compassionate? Can I choose to seek connection instead of creating more disconnection with the person? Can I choose to be more compassionate towards myself? Can I choose to trust my partner and, more importantly, trust myself to handle whatever happens? Can I choose how I want to feel right now and who I want to be in response to this situation today? The answer is always yes, you can. You can always choose. So choose today, my friends. Who do you want to be today and how do you want to feel? What kind of thoughts do you want to have driving you? What kind of feelings do you want to take action from? What kind of partner, friend, or coworker do you want to be? And make it a choice that serves you and feels amazing. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I hope it was useful and empowering. The next round of my group coaching program is in May, and when I open the doors, there will be a 10% discount available for the first 24 hours. So I'll put the link for the waitlist in the information section of this episode, and I highly recommend you go and get yourself on that list so that you don't miss out. This program is where you're going to learn all about these tools and concepts on a much deeper level, and you'll actually have my eyes on your brain to help you apply these tools and this work to your own unique life, thoughts, and relationships. So it's going to be amazing, and the current round is about halfway through, and I'm so, so proud of how far everyone has already come and the amazing work that they're doing in there. And as always, if you're loving this podcast, please could you do a little something for me? Could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me and keep me reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely weekends, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.